And welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. And Mickey, we're taking a bit of a different approach with this program. We're not zeroing in on a specific commodity or a mining hotspot in the world. Rather, we're looking at the mercenary geologist's top 10 list of pitfalls in the junior resource market. We've got five reasons why investors can fail, some of the biggest mistakes they make, and on the flip side of that, the top five reasons in your mind why many junior exploration companies fail. So let's begin with looking at the company mistakes that they make. You have low grade at the top, and you remember when you were a kid, Mickey, the teacher said to you, Mr. Fulp, you're not getting the right grades, you're not going to pass. And really, that's the same thing for a junior exploration company, isn't it?
Well, every good geologist knows that grade is king. And so low-grade deposits are one of my pet peeves in the business. Any company that picks a project has to pick the right project, and most companies pick the wrong one. And that stands to reason because there's a pecking order out there, and not everybody gets the right project. But grade, high grade, will make up for lots of other mistakes that are made in the business. If you're a miner and you have high grade, you can afford for your mining not to go quite right or your metallurgy not to go quite right because you've got the grade behind you. It'll still allow you to make a profit.
Did you get good grades, by the way, in school?
All A's, except for typing. I have 10 thumbs.
Yeah, you're a left-handed writer, too. I've seen your penmanship. It's like mine. It's pretty hard to decipher. All right, number two. In terms of mistakes that junior exploration companies make. And I've seen some of these share issuings that take place. And you look at some of these penny stocks of the junior exploration companies, and you look at the number of shares out there, my God, is this Johnson & Johnson we're looking at or what? And it is very easy for these companies to go to market and just issue shares to raise funds. But that's not really a good sign. I mean, you can go beyond a level that you feel comfortable with.
Well, share dilution is a problem amongst most juniors, in fact. And it comes because they, from the get-go, from the beginning of the company, they don't have a long-term financing plan. And it is not well formulated, and sometimes it does not exist. They raise money willy-nilly when the treasury runs bare or is getting low. And so as a result, they finance at lower and lower prices with increased share dilution until they roll back and reincarnate and make shares for debt for all the principals and become a new entity. So you want to stay away from those kind of companies.
You're a field geologist by training. You ever want to be CEO?
Never. That's probably why.
You look a little uncomfortable in this nice, crisp white suit and tie, but
I actually feel quite comfortable in a suit, a monkey suit, because I wear one about 100 days a year.
But I asked you about the CEO possibility because that plays into your third point in terms of, I guess, really knowing your role, knowing your place.
Right. So in this boom, which has now lasted going on 8 years, what we saw was a bunch of geologists become CEOs. So you have field geologists who have very little idea about finance and business development. Luckily, I have a very strong background in those two areas. They become CEOs of companies. And my a broker friend of mine in Vancouver said, given an American field geologist, the title of CEO in Vancouver is like throwing him in a shark tank armed with a rock hammer. And it's true. So in the 70s, there was a book out called The Peter Principle, and it basically stated that in a capitalistic organization, everybody will be promoted to the point that they're incompetent. And we see that time and time again. We have good field geologists who are CEOs, and they don't have much ability to run companies.
Okay, so you're saying that the geologists need to know their place in the food chain, basically. Same thing for the companies themselves in terms of, are you an explorer? Are you a miner? You can't be both, really. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. So let's go back to the idea that most companies are run by geologists. And rather than beat up on my profession unmercifully, a lot of those companies run by geologists are very well run. But one thing they are not mining companies. We have to remember that in the junior resource sector that 90% of these companies are exploration companies and should stay as such. And they should not try to be miners. They should have an exit strategy of either selling to a mining company or doing a joint venture with a mining company or putting in a bunch of engineers and the geologists step away. So we see time and time again that companies fail, advanced explorers fail when they try to become mining companies.
Companies fail, but one thing that this industry is certainly not short of, and I think this plays into your fifth point, Mickey, your final point for companies, is I guess maybe overstating the story a little bit. I mean, everybody, of course, promotion is very understandable. If you're not promoting yourself, you're not doing yourself or your shareholders any good. You got to know where to draw the line.
Right. Well, I promote myself all the time, and that's what we all try to do. But what is the bane of junior resource companies, I think, is a poor understanding of timelines and time frames. So what we constantly get in the junior resource sector, and it comes because of overpromotion, but the bottom line is this idea of overpromote and underdeliver. You would much rather for a company underpromise and overdeliver, but very few do that. And it comes because an unrealistic time frame. We all know what a Gantt chart is, and I constantly see these Gantt charts where a company says, we will be in feasibility or pre-feasibility or in production at some certain date, and you look at the Gantt chart a year later and it's all extended out a year. So the idea that you do what you say you are going to do in the time frame that you say you are going to do it and at the cost you say you are going to do it at is very important in this business, not always followed.
Okay, that flows nicely into the flip side of the ledger in this one, and that is the top five reasons why you believe speculators in this area of the market often fail. And it's, I think, buying into that last point that you just made, in that they buy into the over-delivering promises, the over-promises that companies make.
And they get kind of reeled in a little bit.
Yeah, well, number one, you never want to be a believer in this business. So as a basic non-believer, I try to separate fact from fiction. But a lot of speculators, they consult bad sources of information. They listen to their neighbors or their friends or their brother-in-law or promoters, and even hang their hats on writers and gurus and wizards and pundits and mavens, and I could probably be considered one of those. But it's very important for an individual speculator to learn to do his own research and due diligence before speculating in a junior resource stock. This is not about throwing darts at a board. This is about hard work and understanding the companies you're putting your hard-earned money into.